I want to talk to you in particular about the black church in general.
Okay.
Because I know you've had some perspectives and opinions about it. Just in general, as far as the black church and the role that is currently played in where we are economically, relationally, with our families, do you feel like it should have, where it has played the role that it should have played?
Not since the assassination of Dr. King. After Dr. King was assassinated and buried a few days later here in Atlanta, Georgia, the black church, out of fear, retreated from the front lines of the struggle, and it reinvented itself away from being an organization of agitation to an organization of accommodation. Now the black church accommodates the agenda the white power structure has for us. Before, we fought. Now, let's go have a cup of tea with the president. Let's go have a cup of tea with the government and see if we can get a couple crumbs from what he's about to do. Although what he's about to do is going to destroy our community. You see that? There's no more fight in the black church. The black church is more parasitic and exploitative of the black community than the Chinese stop and go, than the Latino bodega. The difference between the Latino bodega and the Chinese stop and go and the Walmart and every place else we shop is at least you get something for your money. What do you get back from the black church when you invest? We give the black church $3 million every Sunday collectively in this country. Show me a black church with a supermarket for the people. Show me a black church with a bank for the people. Show me a black church with a manufacturing and distribution network to hire our men and women. Show me a black church with a black school that children who are not Christian or Muslim or Hebrew can go to.
But is that the responsibility of the church, though?
It was historically. Why did it change? The black church was the one-stop shop for us from the time we showed up in America. We buried our dead through the church. We got hired through the church. We fought the KKK through the church. We did our politics through the church. Everything you needed was in the black church. So it made sense for you to spend all your time at the church because the church was everything. They still want us to spend all our time at the church. And what are they doing for us? No institutions. $3 million a Sunday and no institutions? That's highway robbery. If you really care about doing the Lord's work, why are you so comfortable with your people living in hell?
That's interesting because I think that's a lot of pressure to put on a black church.
And I only put it on churches who have a net income of $250,000 a year. If you're bringing in less than $250,000 a year, I will accept you doing some good for the community, but I'm not expecting you to build a bank, a school, a hospital, or a supermarket. But if you netting $250,000, and if you a megachurch, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, if you a megachurch and you ain't got no institutions for the black community, come on, man. You're an exploiter.
So what's the ideal? Give me the ideal picture that you would like to see, even, let's say, a megachurch play in the community.
I would like the megachurch to have a black Wall Street. And what I mean by that is those four institutions. A clinic for the people, whether they're Christian or not, they black. A school for the children, whether they're Christian or not, they black. A supermarket to feed our people fresh food coming from the black farmers, okay? And also a bank to invest in our people so we can get this entrepreneurial spirit up, because there's no jobs left in America. We have to help black people create jobs for themselves. We have to become... Black America is going to have to go full-time entrepreneur.
Wow.
No more jobs. They're giving everything to the migrants. The migrants are in America to replace the Africans. This is the purge. Absolutely.
Do they have a role and a hand in the outcome of where we are as far as our families are concerned?
Who?
The church.
I would say yes, and I'm going to tell you why. The black church caters to the black woman. And the reason the black church caters to the black woman is because the black woman is the provider. She has more income and education than the man. So they're looking at this financially. They also have a vested interest in her never getting married.
Whoa.
The pastor is the metaphorical husband of all the single women in the community. I'm not saying he's sleeping with them. I'm saying he's keeping them so distracted with Jesus that they never find a husband, and that's the way he wants it to stay. Because if she finds a husband, she won't have as much time to be donating to the church all the time.
Wow.
So the black church benefits from single motherhood. They don't want our sisters married because their pockets would go down.
Is this all church or just the black
church?
But
there's always exceptions. Well, I don't care about the white church because that... I'm not thinking about that.
Right, just thought that.
Us. I'm talking about us. It's not every church. There's exceptions to every rule. I know good black pastors. I know good black churches. I speak in black churches all the time. But exceptions don't negate the rule, though. You find a snake that don't bite. That does not negate the fact that most snakes are going to tear your ass up if they get a chance to. You feel me?
I got you.
And most black churches are exploitative and do not serve the needs of the community. How your church is in the middle of a ghetto with all these problems we got, and you not addressing a single one of them. Black church takes three things from black people we can't afford to waste. Too much damn time, too much damn money, and too much damn hope. We don't need hope. We need an agenda for change. Now, I want to bring this talk back to the relationship. This is for my black sisters out there. Brothers too, but especially sisters. You hear sisters say all the time, I'm a born-again Christian. My husband need to be a born-again Christian. I'm a Hebrew. My husband need to be a Hebrew. I'm a Muslim. My husband need to be Muslim. I'm a Rasta. My husband need to be... Excuse me. Do you sisters realize you have slim pickings in these streets? You already got a small available pool of heterosexual men. You're going to reduce it even further by demanding they be of the same religious doctrine? That's insane. If a sister is going to say, my husband got to be a Jehovah's Witness like me, you only had about two or three men you can marry anyway. Now you ain't got one. So I just think black women need to rethink two things. Two things. Number one, this idea that I should not get married until I finish all my collegiate studies.
Oh, that's a big one.
Getting married after they done college is the reason why a lot of our sisters are not getting married and are not having babies. Because they're putting off the marriage. Because, you know, good Christian girl, my daddy and mommy put me through college. I'm going to finish law school first. I'm going to finish med school first. I'm going to get my master. I'm going to become a social worker. I'm going to get my license. Then I'm going to look for a husband. Only problem is, sweetheart, you're not going to be done all this till you're about 35.
And now you're freezing eggs.
You see what I'm saying?
I get exactly what you're saying.
Your biological clock is ticking, which is going to often lead to you presenting yourself to available men as somewhat thirsty because you're not going to be able to hide the fact you know you're aware of your clock ticking, which is going to end up leading to you possibly never getting married. Black women have to stop putting off family for career because they don't have as many options as their counterparts, the whites, the reds, the yellows, and the browns. That's one thing black women need to rethink, putting it off until completion of college. Number two, looking for a man who has to be the same religion. That's another mistake. You're narrowing it down too much. You mean, listen, I'm a Pan-Africanist, so we believe in religious freedom, right? I don't care if my wife is a Rasta, Hebrew, it don't matter to me. As long as you are rooted in God, that's what matters. We're serving the same supreme being. That's what matters, not the dogma in the doctrine. So black woman, you're telling me you would risk losing out on a good man because he does not approach God's science the way you do?
Let's drop that poll, by the way. I want to see how many ladies.
That's definitely my
take. We're going to drop
a
poll.
That's a good one.
Let's see how many ladies are willing to date a man that is not of the same religion. And that's actually a good point, because let's actually coach on that, because I've had people come on here and say, you never do it. I have people that come up on here and say that you better be open to it.
Look at your situation. We are in a state of crisis. So black women and black men got to understand decisions you would have normally made another way, you have to look at them differently now because of your options. I'm going to give you another mistake black women make. So one is postponing marriage and childbirth to after college. Two, demanding that your husband be of the same religious persuasion. And you know what the third one is?
What's that?
Wanting black men to come to the relationship table having already achieved success. One of the biggest advantages the snow bunnies have on our women is snow bunnies will find a dusty brother and see his skill, his talent, you feel me?
Yeah.
Invest in him in college. And by the time he become a multimillionaire at 35, she been with him the whole walk. You see that? A lot of sisters are not going to do that. They're not going to find a dusty brother in his senior year or dusty brother in the community. But you see, he got this business idea. She like, nah, come back and see me when it's up and running. I don't think this ever going to happen. Soon when you waved him off, the snow bunny got him. The snow bunny invested in him. You feel me?
I got
10 years later, the same brother see you. You trying to holler. He got the white girl. Now you dissing him. You saying they all want white girls. Nah, he came to you. You said you want a ready-made black man. Mm. You don't want a work in progress. And I'm telling black women, y'all better start going for some of these works in progress instead of waiting for us to finish the job, because you losing to the snow bunny when you tell us to wait until we got the bag.
You know, you got to know how to analyze that stock.
You got to.
You got to know, when, you gotta know how, when that stock going to rise.
Yo, right? 3,100 people in the chat. The Initius is going crazy right now. Dr. Umar Johnson is blazing the mic right now. What we got right there, Lono?
Get the TV back up.
Yeah, check this out. The poll just dropped, guys. So I'm going to read this poll real quick. This was a good poll.
Yes, sir.
And I want to ask something real quick. I want to bring something in real quick after you drop that poll.
Poll, are you willing to marry a man that's outside of your religion? And fellas, tap into this one too. Are you willing to marry a woman that's outside of your religion? So far, we got over 400 votes, so it's going crazy. And I'm not even going to tell you where it's at. I'm going to just hold on.
I don't even want to know.
I'm not even going to tell you where it's at right now.
But Dr. Umar, here's what I want you to break down for the people. Because for somebody who feels like you cannot, how do I assess that I am aligned with somebody and can have a good value? You know, we on the same value page and system with this person with a completely different religion.
Observation always beats information. So I'm not asking my woman if she shares the same values I have. I'm observing her closely. I'm looking for the gaps in what you say versus what you do. You got to make sure you're studying the person. And guess what? Our women are so used to us not studying them and being particular about their likes and dislikes. One of the best things you can do for a black woman is let her know you know things about her she never told you. You feel me?
Yeah.
I know your favorite color.
They like that.
You feel me?
Yeah.
They want to know that you actually paying attention to me. Because one of the weaknesses we make, fellas, we hustle so much because so many black men are unemployed, right? Half the black men in Atlanta unemployed, Philly, Brooklyn, you name it. When we can earn the bag, sometimes we get so arrogant and egotistical with the fact that we can earn that we think that's all we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the quickest ways for your woman to tiptoe act out the back door on your ass is for you not to spend quality time with her because you provided her with all the material likings that she desires. She needs time. Remember, men cheat for sex and comfort. Women cheat for attention and understanding. Mm. It may lead to the bedroom, but that ain't why she saw it.
Run those back. Run those back. I want to hear that.
Men cheat for sex and comfort.
Okay.
Women cheat for attention and understanding. They want someone to understand them. That's why when our women cheat, we hurt more. Because we know if she spread them thighs, she felt him.
Yeah.
When we cheat, she may be hurt, but not as much. Because with us, it could be more superficial. She was 5'5", thick in the thighs. I just had to hit that. You see that?
Right.
Slayer.
But when she spread them thighs, you know she had a connection with that man. And that's why we got to make sure we putting time in, because I'm seeing too many brothers. Oh, yeah, I bought her the Benz. We got the big house, two pools. I just took her to Vegas, But outside of that, you ain't putting no time in. And guess what? She going to end up spending time with a guy who ain't got half of what you got. Because for a woman, although, yeah, they can be materialistic, they like the physical things you can provide them with, but at the end of the day, she's still a woman, and she needs a man who can pour into her soul. If you cannot pour into that woman's soul, she will leave you.
So to answer that question, how do I go about observing whether or not war? How do I go about knowing? I got to study this.
You got to study him and the family. See, my thing is, who raised you? I want to spend time. I'm not even letting her. I'm going to find out who raised. Once she tell me, my mom was a single mom. I'm coming to tell mom I'm coming over here for dinner. I'm playing it off. I like the food, but I need to hear what come out your mom and her mouth, because I need to know what core values she raised you with. Because, see, that's another thing we ignore about people. When you study them, you got to look for the core values. For example, I don't value materialism. So if I meet a sister who got to have the Louis bag, the Balenciaga heels, it's a turnoff because I'm not into that. Even if I can provide her with that, I don't want to do that. You know why? We got homeless kids out here. We got mothers on the street. I can't afford to be giving you all this when some of this need to be going to the struggle and to the community. So you got to look at what people core believe. Some people fundamentally believe I'm nobody without these expensive things.
Yeah.
Are you sure this is who you want raising your children? Because another mistake we make as men is we would like the woman for ourselves and never say, is that the kind of mother you want for your son? Is that the kind of mother you want for your daughter? Do you want your daughter being raised on blind weeds and expensive shoes? You see that? Yeah. And a lot of times we don't look at that till she get pregnant. And then be like, oh, shit, I'm going to have a ghetto baby. You know what I mean? Right. Tattoos and booty shaking. We are too quick to go for the physical and not study as to whether or not this is a woman we want around for the long term.
Let's close out that poll. Where we at on that poll? Because I want to see what the people thinking.
Let me check it out real quick. I'm going to close it out. All right. Are you willing to marry a man that's outside of your religion? We got over 630 votes. It's going. 700. 61% of people say no.
No, what?
They are not willing to marry outside of their religion.
I'm not sure they're being completely honest. I'm going to tell you why. I've seen sisters who say they wouldn't date outside the religion. And when they were propositioned by a brother who wasn't of the religion.
Or had no religion.
You think they said no?
And he was that dude.
You think they said no?
Yeah, that's cap.
100%.
That's cap.
A lot of sex going on. And there's a lot of people that's just not religious at all. So I would consider not religious outside of your religion.
Absolutely. Indeed. No, 100%.
Over 700 votes, too, by the way. Just close that.
They got to have God in their life. But dictating a person's doctrine as a condition for marriage, for me, is short-minded, short-sighted, especially for where we are as a people.
Wow.
Man.
I got a super chat came up real quick.
Let's take that.
So if you didn't, shout out to, I think, Malika Love. Shout out to Miss Love. All right, Miss Love, we love you. So if you didn't get your needs met as a child and our partners can't help with that, how do we meet those needs on our own? You mentioned getting a father figure or mother figure as a young adult. How would you go about finding that?
You ask. For example, I was raised Muslim. In Islam, when a woman comes to the age where she's ready to date, if there's no men in her father to serve as her chaperone, she will find one, or the brothers in the masjid will find her one. Same thing in African culture. Your uncles will be that person you need.
Yeah.
The problem is in the black community, we so disorganized that women may have to go out and find them for themselves. I've had young sisters approach me, Dr. Umar, I don't have that man that I need in my life to back me up and talk to me and give me a hug when I need one and not want nothing from me. And I say, sure, I'll be that for you, good sister. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they need that. All of us as men should have young ladies of adult age who we want nothing from except their best life. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's too many of them out there with no type of fatherly direction at all. And I think because we know women love looking sexy, I think sometimes as men, we forget that women also have to bear the burden of always having to look sexy, meaning we are often valuing our women for what they look like and not for who they are. I saw a clip on Instagram the other day. It was Eartha Kitt, the great black actor.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I met all these men. All they wanted to do was lay me down. And it wasn't until I found this one man who was willing to help stand me up.
Mm.
And he didn't want what was between my legs. So we gotta be very conscious as black men of sexual oppression. So I go out of my way now when I'm around sisters to send them no sexual energy. She might be fine as hell, but I'm not going to look at her ass. I need her to know I ain't here for that. You feel me? Because our sisters are so used to it that they lead with it. And if we want them to stop leading with it, we got to stop paying so much attention to it. Because at the end of the day, as much as black women may sexually objectify themselves, they really don't want to do it. They do it because we have made it clear to them that this is the only way you can get one of us.
You know, that's really maturity. I was talking to Ryan about that, about, you know, being able to understand how to change your energy around women. Because me personally, I've always been somebody, you know, probably called me quintessential a player back in the day, just like having, you know, options, like having ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm looking to transition and, you know, into my empire building stage with one woman, now how I approach and even the small things, the silly comments I make, the way I stand, move, body language around women, it all has to, I'm retraining myself.
Likewise.
And how I think and how I move.
Yes.
Because even just as, especially figures that's, you know, in the public eye, a woman is probably you know, one of the greatest, one of your greatest assets, and also one of the greatest things to take you down.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Gotta pick a right.
Gotta pick a right.
And we have to also recognize too, brothers, that you're going to have to go through some of your self-imposed karma on the way to finding your queen.
Oh, that's what we don't want to hear that.
I know.
We don't want
to
hear that.
You may have to get hurt once or twice.
Wow.
On this path. Let me just be real. You're probably going to have happen to you what you've done to a woman.
That's not good. That's not good.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Because that's the way the universe works. So the universe is glad you on your path to finding your one and only queen.